madness. This is Sparta!
Finally.
Yeah, Schizo Jits here talking about UFC 300 main card predictions and breakdowns. I've already done a video on the early prelims and prelims. And unbelievable card. Obviously, this card is probably the most stacked card in UFC history. It's up there. I mean, might not have all the finishes. Like, as I'm making my picks, I have picked some decisions already. But we're hoping that the main card delivers. And I think there's no way the main card won't deliver as far as just excitement and, you know, just unbelievable matchups that we have here. I mean, opening up with Bo Nickel against Cody Brundage. Cody, the next victim, Brundage. Sorry, my man. But 5-0 for Bo Nickel. Hasn't been out of the first round. 10-5. And Cody does have a background in wrestling. So you got wrestling. There's levels to everything. You got a background. One guy here, Cody Brundage. I'm not even saying it. Like, it'll take most people down. 99% population. He's probably whooping that ass. But now you got Bo Nickel, who's up here, 3-time national champion. I mean, unbelievable wrestler. Probably the most decorated wrestler we've had so far, short of, you know, Olympic gold or whatever. You got Cejudo has Olympic gold, but he's still right there. I mean, unbelievable. And the way he's been able to transition from wrestling to and implement his jiu-jitsu, like a lot of times you can't do that. You know, like a lot of times wrestlers either just use it to keep it standing or ground and pound, or and just use the explosiveness from their hands. They fall in love with a knockout and just keep the fight standing, all like Chuck Liddell, you know, type wrestlers. But we're talking Bo Nickel, who he knows what he's great at. I love his approach at this. A lot of people are hating on Bo Nickel being on the main fight, on the main card, and I get it. But same time, the UFC is trying to build him up because look what they did with Khamzat. They're doing a little bit slower pace with Bo Nickel because he hasn't been fighting that long, you know, a few years. He's only been training MMA. So, I mean, he don't have the experience yet, but he's getting that, and he's destroying everybody. You know, he's 5-0, five finishes, all first round, and not even close. So, like, he's just in another level than everybody else he's faced so far. This is a big step up. Cody has 15 fights. You know, they're both coming off wins. Cody, I think he got that slam knockout last time. It was not as quite as nasty as Rampage's, you know, epic slam in Pride against Ricardo Arona, but definitely a nice victory, you know, slam. You don't see that every day, and that's great. I mean, I think this wrestling, either this fight could either both their wrestling cancels out and it ends up in a striking battle, or Bo Nickel is going to show his level of wrestling is way better than Cody's. And once it gets to the ground, like I said, the way Bo Nickel transitions to submissions, he goes for the kill. Like, and I don't see anything different in this fight. You know, both guys are tall guys for middleweight, big guys, 76-inch reach for Bo Nickel. He's 6'1", 6'0", or 6', 72-inch reach for Cody Brundage. And like I said, Brundage is a game opponent. He's stepping up. This is going to be the opener. This is going to set the pace for the main card. And I don't see anything different in this card, in this fight. I feel like Bo Nickel is going to, I don't want to say he's going to run through Cody. I don't want to disrespect like that, but he's going to win this fight first round. I'm thinking of submission. I think it will hit the ground eventually, and I think just Bo Nickel's ability to finish the fight is just second to none. I mean, well, I won't say second to none, but it's up there. I mean, obviously, he's five finishes, five first-round finishes, so he's had his way with every opponent so far in his UFC career, and I'm thinking this is going to be a first-round finish by submission. I'm picking Bo Nickel. This fight don't even take too much analysis. Bo Nickel is just on another level when it comes to the grappling game. If the wrestling cancels out and they end up striking, then that gives Cody more of a chance because Bo Nickel hasn't shown a whole lot on the feet yet, but he's training. I love his systematic approach to training for MMA and for these fights. I'm sure it's kind of taking the whole college like system that they have for wrestling and how grueling of a work ethic you have to go through that, you know. And I think he's taking a professional approach, you know, like taking every single fight like it's about him. It's all about this fight and the training camps and everything's perfect, the diet, everything. I mean, the guy doesn't even cuss, you know, like he doesn't even swear. Like he's just totally focused on this, his career and everything, just doing everything the right way. And I don't think there's going to be any different. Bo Nickel's going to, he's going to first round. Like I said, first round submission, Bo Nickel. Book it. Now, that one I would bet on for sure. I don't know. There's not too many fights on this card that I want to bet on because they're so 50-50, but this one is definitely not a 50-50 fight. And yeah, that's going to be the opening fight on the main card. So hopefully we will open with a finish on this one. And yeah, because I mean, there's definitely some more bangers on this freaking this card. So I mean, on this main card for sure. And yeah, that brings us to Charles Dubrov Oliveira against Armand Tsarukyan, coming off that devastating win, Armand, when he knocked out Benil Dariush. And Charles Oliveira coming off the win where Charles Oliveira ran through Benil Dariush. And Benil got beat by both these guys, huh? Is that right? Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, but Armand has looked great. I mean, he's riding high, 21-3 record. You know, 5'7", though he's a little bit shorter, he's going to have an inch and a half reach disadvantage to Oliveira. Oliveira, always dangerous, 34-9. So, I mean, a lot of fights he had in, you know, featherweight, lightweight. I could even picture him moving up to welterweight at some point because he's tall. He's got a good frame for that. But Oliveira, I mean, obviously the knock on him, he's dangerous from the opening bell. Like, I won't say that's a knock. His knock is he gets hurt almost in every single fight. You know, he gets cracked, and then that's just going to be, that might happen again. I feel like Armand is going to be a similar fight to Islam Makhachev when Charles fought him. Like, Islam was one of the only guys so far who was not afraid to go to the ground with Charles. Usually, soon as Charles has been hurt, like I said, in almost in every single fight, but guys don't want to go to the ground with him because he's so dangerous there and always going for the kill. Most submission wins in UFC history. Armand, I don't feel like he's going to be afraid to go to the ground with Oliveira because of his wrestling background. And he really gave Islam a run for his money in the wrestling department. Even got some takedowns, out-wrestled him in certain points. Still lost that fight. That was years back. And Armand, like I said, he's riding high. He's definitely a rising contender. It's hard to pick against Charles, and I'm not going to do it. You know, I'm going for Charles Oliveira because I think this fight, Armand, he's going to still have to come into that range. And Charles brings it on the feet. Even though Armand got that head kick knockout in his last fight, I don't see that happening again with Oliveira. You know, Oliveira is just, he might get rocked. If he does get rocked, obviously, it's going to definitely go the other way, Armand. But I just feel like Oliveira is just on another level with his striking. He uses everything. His Muay Thai is sick. He's constantly touching you and constantly making you. He's just constantly tagging people up. I mean, he's throwing knees. He's throwing teeps to the body. He's throwing, you know, he's just throwing bombs. He's always going for the kill, and he's really precise and accurate with it. He's got his eyes fixed as far as his vision because he said he couldn't really see as good as well before, so that's why he was getting hit so much. But, I mean, the way Oliveira has been looking since the Islam fight, hopefully that was just a hiccup. I'm going to pick Dubronx, and I think he gets the job done with the finish. I mean, Armand has shown that he can get hit, and like I said, Oliveira striking-wise, it's amazing. He's got some of the amazing stand-up in the UFC, most exciting fighter out there, fan favorite, one of my favorites to watch, and I'm not sleeping on Armand, because like I said, if it does turn into like a straight-up grappling match, I think Armand could do something. If he gets a takedown and gets on top, that's the one thing about Oliveira, he likes to lay on his back. If he does get hurt, he'll just lay on his back, like, coming to my guard. I don't think that's always smart. Like, Oliveira on top, on the ground, I think he does damage, and he could tap anybody. He also has, you know, good submissions from his back. But I'm going to pick TKO, Charles Oliveira. I'm thinking third round. I mean, if he gets that far, I think he's going to catch him. I don't think Armand's going to have that much success to be that easy to take down Oliveira just because of the range and all the offense that's going to be coming at him. Like, Oliveira seems like he's almost all offense, almost like Alex Pereira, like not so much defense, all offense, you know, not the best head movement, but he's striking and he's so precise with it and so dangerous everywhere the fight goes. And he wants that rematch. Both these guys want that rematch with Islam. You know, no, Islam's looking unbeatable right now, but he hasn't fought in a while, you know, since Volk. So definitely whoever makes a statement in this card, you got three guys fighting for that top spot to fight Islam. We got both these guys want a rematch, and you got Justin Gaethje, you know, in the next fight. So yeah, I'm gonna pick Charles Oliveira. I'm thinking second or third round TKO, and this is kind of with my heart as well, just because you know he's one of my favorite fighters to watch. Armand definitely has all the tools to beat him if it goes to the ground and, you know, ground and pound and all that. But I'm going Charles DuBronx. Let's get it. Let's go. And that'll bring us to the fight I just talked about, or mentioned. Justin, the highlight Gaethje against Max Blessed Holloway. And this fight, obviously, is the people's main event. It's going to be five rounds because it's for the BMF belt. Quote unquote, bad motherfucker, which both of these guys are. They're both legendary Spartan type fighters. Unbelievable. No quit in either one of them. Justin Gaethje, who's been looking great, coming off a head kick knockout win over Dustin Poirier at UFC 291. That was a while back. I was back in July. I was there for that fight. So it's been a minute. Max Holloway always stays a little busier. He's always fighting. Really, Max Holloway's kryptonite has basically been Alexander Volkanovski. Other than that, he's kind of ran through everybody else. And Dustin Poirier at lightweight. So another fight that Holloway has had at lightweight, what didn't go so well against Poirier. He had his moments there, but Poirier, with his boxing range and just a straight-up boxing match, you know, not too many people are going to beat Poirier there. I mean, he's one of the best in the world. And I think Max kind of took that fight short notice, didn't really put on the weight correctly. He knew about this fight for months, worked his way up to the weight. I mean, obviously, he's a big guy. He's cutting from 180 anyway, 185, whatever it is, to get even to featherweight. So this is a lightweight bout, not have to cut as much. Hopefully he looks a little stronger. I don't know, a couple of videos I've been seeing, he kind of look a little, I don't know if like he's sick or what, but looks a little bit more drawn. Maybe the weight cut is still affecting him. I don't know. Maybe it's just me looking into it too much. But I think a lot of people are sleeping on Max here just because of how good, and you know, nothing against Max, it's just how good Gaethje has looked. You know, Gaethje has just been putting people out, looking great in there and looking way more composed, not like the old Gaethje who fought like Oliveira or fought Khabib or whatever back in the day, Michael Johnson, where he just kind of just goes guns blazing and whoever wins. That's just who could damage the other more, you know, was kind of always his approach. Like he would say a car accident happening and who could just be more durable, who could take it more and inflict more damage. Both these guys, 5'11", 1-inch reach advantage for Gaethje, 70-69. But honestly, I'm like I said, everybody is picking Gaethje. And even when this fight first got announced, I was already like, oh my God, nah, Max, because Max never been dropped, never been knocked out. He's one of the only guys in history with all his years of experience. And, you know, I was one of those guys too, man. Gaethje's going to be the first one to crack his chin and take him down or take him out. But the more and more I think of this fight and the closer we're getting to it, it's kind of hard to go against Max even in this fight. I feel like this fight could be, like, if they're just in the center of the cage and just kind of feeling each other out, trying not to make mistakes and staying composed and great game plans and all that technical type of fight, then I think Gaethje could land that big bomb. And if he gets his leg kicks going, Max is hittable with the leg kicks. So I feel like Gaethje, the old Gaethje, as far as the leg kicking game, could it's a kind of like a, I don't know, it's kind of a balance he's going to have to do. He's going to have that old Gaethje where he's throwing a lot of leg kicks to compromise Max, because Max does like to switch stances. He's constantly moving, constantly throwing, throws up a lot of volume. He's landed the most significant strikes in UFC history by like 1,200 strikes. No one's even close. Angela Hill shot out over Kill Hill is actually number second, which is insane to even think of too. You know, like, I can't believe she's right there. You know, like, who would have thought? But Max Holloway, though, like, I mean, everybody knows for his volume. You know, he's broken records. I mean, he's just unbelievable pace, crazy cardio, like unmatched cardio, you know, for five rounds. Gaethje has shown that he has gotten tired if the pace is high and not at his pace. Like, if it's at his pace where you're kind of staying calculated and composed, like I said, circling around, looking for your shots, picking your shots, if that Gaethje, the technical Gaethje is there, the newer, improved Gaethje, then he could fight for five rounds and do what he did to, like, Tony Ferguson, or, you know, how good he's looked. But I have a feeling that, although Gaethje hasn't proved it, and he's probably my favorite fighter to watch, you know, I mean, since he's came from the World Series of Fighting. Even before that, I loved him at World Series of Fighting. Guy's amazing. You know, he's just incredible to watch. Never a boring fight, no matter what happens. Always inflicts damage. You know, like, you don't ever walk away from a Gaethje fight, like, untouched. You know, you might limp out of there. You know, like, almost every fighter limps out of there. They're hurt, you know. So I feel like Holloway would be a little, he's really accurate. And just because he throws a lot more volume, he's going to land something on Gaethje to take him out of that composed state that he needs to just game plan. And I stick to this game plan and do what I'm going to do, make this fight look easy, or just land those kill shots that he can land. I don't think he's going to be able to not get hit by Max, because Max is always going to be right there in your face. And even he's going to eat some leg kicks. He's going to eat whatever you got, you know, as long as it's nothing too big. And he's going to come in here and land something. It's kind of like when Justin Gaethje fought Charles Oliveira. Like 10 seconds into that fight, Charles Oliveira cracked him on the chin, game plan out the window. Now we see old Gaethje stalking, throwing bombs. And it almost worked for him. He dropped Charles two times in that fight. But the point is that he was breathing with his mouth open, game plan out the window, and just trying to chase him down and land a big shot and put himself in more danger and ended up getting tapped. I think the same thing might happen here. I think it might go five rounds, because Max don't really finish a lot of people lately, but I feel like Max is going to just be able to outbox him, outwork him more than anything, and just avoid getting hit with anything freaking huge, because he's constantly going to be working and constantly be touching Gaethje. So I'm going Max Holloway by decision. I know a lot of people are picking Gaethje. And, I mean, believe me, when I first fight was first announced, I was like, damn, Gaethje's going to kill him. You know, this is going to be bad. And what sucks about this fight is, like, Gaethje, he don't even need this fight. He's already next in line for Islam. They should be fighting Islam. And that's the kind of, like, I get it. UFC needed a huge fight for this card. But really, we didn't need these. Both these fighters are losing by, I mean, obviously this fight is for the fans, you know, but these fights are kind of losing. Like Max Holloway, he could be fighting Ilia Topuria. You know, he would have had he's on a win streak, you know, he's been killing it. The thing is, he had lost to Volk three times, so he wasn't going to get a title fight. But against Ilia, now that Ilia knocked out Volk, he could have been next in line if he had just waited, but you never know what's going to happen, for one. And same thing with Gaethje, he could have been with Islam. So either one of these guys, whoever loses, is going to lose that title shot, most likely. Even though Holloway, this is a different division, it's not going to a good look to lose and then come back down and be like, that wasn't your division, now you're going to get a title shot. So that kind of sucks, because I want to see Max and Ilya. I think that's a great matchup. And maybe we still will. You know, if Max gets this win, like I'm predicting he is, I think he's going to outwork Gaethje. I mean, this fight obviously is 50-50, could go any way. Like most of the fights on these cards, I want to put money on it. Gaethje could knock him out. Maybe he will be the first to knock out Max. That's possible, because he has so much power. And he, you know, I'm saying he's made so many improvements in striking. I just feel like Max is going to outwork him, and Max is going to get this win and get back, keep his win streak alive. And hopefully we'll see Ilya and Max in Spain or UFC 306 or wherever. It's going to be a banger. But this fight, I can't wait for this fight. This is, like I said, people's main event. Let me know who you guys pick on this one. I think most people are picking Gaethje, but I think a lot of people are starting to lean back towards Max, just because when you start thinking about the volume, the durability of Max, you know, yes, he hasn't been hit. He didn't look the greatest against Poirier, who Gaethje just knocked out. But I still feel like he's right there, and you know, he can't take so much damage, and he's durable. And, yeah, I'm going Max. I'm blessed Holloway for the win. In the people's main event, yep, so that's another one that's kind of just like I'm picking because I'm such a fan and, you know, kind of more with my heart on that one, you know, because you know, who doesn't like fucking, you're not a fight fan if you don't like Max, you know what I mean? It's just, you're not, you can't say you are. Now bring us to the co-main event, Zhang Weili Zhang, Yao Xiaonan, coming off a crazy win herself. She's on a win streak, both of these girls. Yao Xiaonan, definitely a more technical striker. They got the same reach. You know, I thought Weili was a little shorter. She's 5'4", 5'5", both China. China versus China. Janita versus Janita. You know, so this is going to be a great fight. I'm going with Weili. I'm going with John. You know, just because of the championship experience she's had. She's been in there with the best, 24-3. like I said, Yao Xiana looking great, and she did get just kind of out grappled and, you know, beat up kind of by Carla Esparza, who Wei Li just made look like she didn't even belong in the same cage with her. And I think Xiao Nan, I mean, has definitely upped her game going to Alpha Male, going to Team Alpha Male, trying to get her wrestling, her grappling up to par. You know, that's great, you know. And she's, like I said, she's looked great. Technically, striking-wise, she might be a little bit more crisp than Wei Li. Wei Li kind of just swings for the fences, not the best head movement, but she's so damn explosive and gets in there with such speed and power. And I think she is going to probably use the takedowns like she has been using. She definitely leveled up on her wrestling game. So I'm picking Wei Li by a decision, honestly. This is a five-rounder, so it's going to be a tough fight for either one of these girls to go all rounds because, like I said, Xiao Nan definitely could catch her. If she could rock her on the feet just coming in with one of those crazy blitzes, if she could catch Wei Li coming in, then she could definitely finish her. She could put her lights out, or she, you know, they both finished Andrade. That's when she's coming off a knockout of Andrade, which was crazy impressive, and Andrade all comes forward too, just kind of way Wei Li does. But I think Wei Li just has a little bit more tools in her arsenal, not just the striking wise, but with the grappling. And I think she will change levels and try to get it to the ground. We've seen Wei Li get knocked out, Thug Rose head kick knocked out, head kick dead. But it's hard to pick against Wei Li with so much championship experience. I think this is going to be a great fight, unbelievable for China. This could have been a fight night or whatever. They could have made this a probably a main event in China for sure, like just to sell out the place over there. But yeah, incredible fight. I'm going Wei Li by decision. This is gonna be a 5-round banger. I mean, it's gonna be crazy. I just think she's gonna win on points with the takedowns. She's gonna be on top, staying out of danger. Xiao Nan will survive on the ground. But if it's just a stand-up fight only, then I could see Xiao Nan maybe catching her coming in, just like she did against Jessica Andrade, you know, that little beast, that little tank that she is. But yeah, that'll bring us to, that's the co-main, you know. So yeah, this is a long card to break down, but that's going to bring us to the main event. This is another kind of, even though a lot of people were pissed about this fight, you know, being announced and everything the way it was, everyone was kind of hating on this card or this main event, which I wasn't. I was excited as soon as this shit got announced because I'm a fan of both these guys. I can't lie. I like Jamal Hill. I like his freaking, I don't want to say gangster, you know, but just kind of just meant I like his mindset. Like, you know, I like how he is. He believes in himself. He's got a lot of power. He never actually did lose the belt. You know, he relinquished the belt after he tore his Achilles back in July. So this is a great fight. But I'm also a huge Alex Poatan Paheya fan ever since he came in. I mean, so I've been watching him since glory days, and he's a beast. And what he's done in the short span, a few years of MMA, seven or nine fights in the UFC, you know, already beat four former world champions. He's already a two-time champ, a double champ. He's basically a double champ. Chama, double champ from Glory and UFC. And he wasn't able to get he wasn't able to defend his title at middleweight. He lost the second fight to Izzy, but came back and moved up to 205. And this is a stat that I know Jamal Hill, if he does hear this, you know, he's going to think I'm just hating. But Jamal Hill, like, as far as his biggest win he has right now in the top 15 is Johnny Walker. Alex Paheya's already got two wins in the top five guys, you know, his last two fights, Jan Błachowicz and Jiří, his last fight were finished. But the Jan fight could have went either way, honestly. When I watched that fight live, like I said, I was in Utah for that. I thought they were going to give that to Jan because of the takedowns. He didn't do a lot of damage, but I thought, like, Jan was going to get that decision. Nevertheless, Paheya got it. He beat Jiří, finished him with a kind of, like, just devastating leg kicks. Jiří, every single time, if you watch that fight, every time Jiří would go, because he switches stances a lot, just like Jamal Hill, whenever he went conventional, orthodox, he got leg kicked. He was met with a leg kick every single time. And then when he went southpaw, you know, Alex Paheya was throwing that body kick because you were open for that. So technically speaking, Alex Paheya is just another level than pretty much anyone other than, like, Adesanya. These guys are on the same levels as far as striking and kickboxing. You know, both these guys are huge, 6'4". Both have 79, 80-inch reach. You know, they're both right there. So, I mean, they're both coming off wins. Like I said, Jamal Hill never lost the belt. He beat Glover. He beat up Glover too for five rounds, total domination. And the one thing I always said about that fight, I'm not taking anything away from Jamal Hill. He looked incredible in that fight. He smashed on Glover in every way. He landed everything. Five head kicks, you know what I mean? He landed everything he wanted to, and Glover couldn't take him down, really. And when he did, he got right back up. So I just felt like Glover had a horrible game plan for that fight. Like, I was even screaming at the TV, like, leg kicks. Not that I was rooting for Glover, because, like I said, I like Jamal Hill, but I just, when I see something opening like that, I was like, dude, he was open for leg kicks. He comes a lot flat-footed, kind of plodding a little bit, and kind of just kind of walks across, you know, like, kind of to kill the space between the fighters. He kind of walks across that instead of kind of chasing or cutting off the cage. He kind of walks across that, which is smart too, against somebody like Glover. That way he could see the takedowns coming, and he did. And Glover, like, I felt like his game plan was bad strategy wise. He was going for takedowns in the middle of the cage. We all know, you've seen Glover's career, he's not that type of wrestler. Usually he gets people up against the cage, drags them down, and then he does what he does. But he just, I think he got a little too predictable with his takedowns. Well, this fight right here, I don't think there's going to be very many takedowns. And I think a lot of people are actually sleeping on Paheya. As, like, they're, like, basically, like, Jamal Hill, if it goes to the ground, he's going to tear him up. He could wrestle him, easy path to victory, take him down. Jamal Hill has zero takedowns in the UFC. You know, I mean, he's done a good job on the ground when he gets there. But his ground and pound is vicious, elbows. And, like, he's relentless with, like, he does have good cardio. He don't look like he has the best cardio, but he does. Like, when it comes to just throwing barrages of punches and kicks and just finishing a fight, he's really, like, I don't know. I think he's so loose in there that he's not winding up with everything. And he's able to throw a lot of combos and just outwork people when he gets them in those situations. Like, I could picture if Jamal Hill could push Paheya against the cage, like, kind of like Yuri had some success in their fight. He could definitely unleash some bombs right there, but at the same time, he has to be defensively, you know, responsible, because Alex Paheya does have that freaking kryptonite. You know, I mean, most people's kryptonite. He just has that Thanos freaking power where he just death touch, where he just touches people and they get dropped or whatever, you know. So, I mean, that's one thing. And he's really accurate. He looks a lot slower, especially at 205, but he's you know, he's definitely more accurate, and he's not the best defensive fighter himself, Paheya. But the thing is, I think he is hittable. And I think he kind of lures you in thinking, okay, yeah, he's so hittable, I can hit this guy. You overextend a little bit, and he's just throwing his hands up, kind of deflecting shots, but he's always in range by keeping his hands kind of low at his hips and getting a lot of hip power and a lot of torque in those punches. Like, you see the left hook that dropped Yuri was such a short punch, you know, it was just from the hip. And he dropped him just like that. So, I mean, and then he was able to finish him with some elbows and up on top. Quick stoppage or not, it didn't look good for Yuri. I mean, it definitely was a quick stoppage, in my opinion. You know, I was going for Paheya, but I was happy he won, but I still feel like it was a quick stoppage. So, Jamal Hill coming off an injury, Achilles, I see it on an interview, he had the same doctor as, like, Aaron Rodgers had, like, all these elite, Kobe, you know, all these elite athletes had, and they were able to make quick turnarounds and come back from in their respective sports. So I think that definitely does play a factor here, that at least he was able to get the right kind of treatment to be able to even come back. Originally, they were targeting this fight for UFC 301. So this is a little bit quicker for Hill after a major freaking injury and surgery, you know, 9 months, barely happened 9 months ago. And I just think the leg kicking game of Paheya, like, obviously Jamal Hill fights, he switches stances, but majority is southpaw. And I think he fights southpaw, but his right hand is his strong hand. Because if you look at when he is southpaw, he's throwing a lot of a jab and then a check left. He goes like this type of thing, boom. And he'll throw a left kick to the body or a high kick. And then once he goes to conventional, he's literally just loading up on right hand, just throwing right hand. So I think definitely the left hand is there to kind of gauge, and then the right hand was his money punch. You know, a lot of people, I don't know if anyone is looking, has noticed that, but he does do, he's really right hand heavy, you know, and left kicks heavy, you know, especially from southpaw. So I think that's the one thing that kind of worries me for Poatan, is that check right actually coming in, you know. And, you know, if Poatan's throwing that body kick or throwing a 1-2 up here and throwing a body kick from his conventional stance, he could leave himself for that right hook counter, you know. So he's going to have to be smart about that, and look out for that right hook counter. But I think he could beat up Jamal Hill's legs, and from either stance. I think he'll just kind of touch him when a Jamal Hill's on in a southpaw stance. I feel like that lead leg, little kind of touchy, like low calf kicks, he'll land those, just kind of feelers. And he'll probably throw his jab a little bit more. As long as he don't leave his jab there, he should be fine avoiding that right hook, you know, the right hook. But anytime that he goes conventional, I feel like Paheo's going to eat up that leg, you know, and I think Jamal Hill is a lot flat-footed, and I don't think he's going to check those kicks. And I feel like Paheo might even get a takedown. He's worked a lot in his grappling. I was watching his grappling, you know, like with all these guys, even a black belt, and he looked pretty good. Like, he knows what he's doing. You know, when he's on top, he knows how to stay on top and stay busy and stay active enough. And I feel like Paheo, I think Paheo's going to get the finish here. I mean, this fight is obviously, it's 50-50. Like, Jamal Hill could definitely knock out Alex Paheo, in my opinion. This was a dangerous fight for sure, and I was thinking that. But the only reason I'm leaning more Paheo is because of the injury and just because of the fight IQ as far as just kickboxing, dude. Like, just, he's been in there with a lot of southpaws. He's been with a lot of people. You know, he had a close fight with Bruno Silva, who's a southpaw. You know, and I know a lot of people think that translates to this. And Jamal Hill is long, and he throws hard, and he has a good fight IQ himself. He's really good at knowing when to throw those shots and that. But he does overextend a lot. He leaves himself open a lot. And Paheo, even though he doesn't leave himself, I mean, he does leave himself open as well, he doesn't overextend much. The time he did was when Izzy knocked him out in middleweight in their rematch. I think he's learned a lot from that, because you could see when he had Jan up against the cage and hurt, he wasn't kind of rattled. He didn't jump on him and go too crazy. And, you know, he still stayed composed, and he doesn't rush anything. He kind of just wants to see everything and just wait for the openings. And I think that's what he's going to do here. Unless Jamal Hill could push him up against the cage and just kind of get a barrage on him and do something like that and knock him out that way. I could see that happening for sure. Like I said, Jamal Hill's one of the best right now too, as far as striking and just everything, just chin wise for sure. And durability is definitely in Hill's corner. You know, definitely Hill's got that. You know, he's definitely the more of a dog in here, I think, than Paheo. But Paheo is just a more technical, I think, a wizard when it comes to his striking. I mean, his striking is just unbelievable. From wherever, whoever he's fighting, southpaw, Izzy switches stances a lot. Both his legs were getting tore up in that second fight before Paheo got knocked out. But I'm picking Alex Paheo. I'm thinking like a second or third round stoppage. Just, I think he's going to land the big left hook eventually, but I think it's going to take time because Hill is going to be prepared for that, obviously. And he's probably going to stay southpaw a lot more just to avoid the leg kicks. But once Paheo does start keeping them turning and exposes any type of mistakes, then I feel like he's going to be able to attack both legs eventually and just kind of slow his movement around a little more. I feel like Paheo is going to land the big shot. This is another one I'm kind of picking with my heart just because I like Paheo. I'm a bigger fan. I'm a fan of both guys. So Hill's, I mean, a lot of people, he gets a lot of hate, salty, all that. You know, he'll be online just like, he's definitely called me a hater or anyone else who picks against him a hater, but I'm not a hater. You know, I just feel like Paheo at this time, because of the injury, because of that, I think the defensiveness, unresponsibleness of both of these guys, I just feel like Paheo is going to land something. I think he does have more than one way to win. I think he might even be able to get a takedown. I doubt if he's going to be able to keep Jamal down or submit him or anything like that, but he might be get a takedown. You know, I'm sure he's, you know, training everything. Glover fought him before, even though he got dominated by Hill. He still lumped up Hill a little bit. He had some success there. There's still stuff to study there and stuff for, you know, Paheo to learn from in that fight. And that's going to be it. I'm going to pick Alex Paheo, like, third round. I'm thinking TKO or knockout. Jamal Hill, like, definitely could knock him out. I mean, for sure, this fight is 50-50 as it gets. And they're both super confident. I think it means a little bit more to Hill to get his title back. I mean, he got pressure in him, but I think he's okay with the pressure. I think he don't care because he believes in himself that much, and he knows he can do it. And he knows he's tough as hell. He's never been cracked. I never seen him hurt or cracked or anything like that. So that's another thing. It's like, damn. But, you know, Thiago Santos was kind of touching him up a little bit. He was landing some shots, and getting the takedowns, even though he ended up kind of just quitting and getting overwhelmed and beat up by Hill in that fourth round stoppage. But I feel like Alex Paheo is going to get the job done, winner by knockout. But nothing against Jamal Hill. Like I said, I'm a fan. He absolutely can win this fight. And this fight was first announced, I was like, oh damn, like, this is a tough matchup for Paheo. And it is. I think the other factors, like I said, the long layoff and also the injury, you know, he's not going to be as mobile and he might not be as durable in that those low kicks. So Alex Pereira, yes, and still. But yeah, that's it. That's my breakdown. Like, subscribe. Let me know who you guys think in the comments. The main event especially, that's the one I'm looking forward to the most, is the main event. And the people's main, obviously. The whole main card, the whole card. I don't want to, you know, I was going to volunteer for work. I ain't doing shit Saturday. I'm going to watch this fight top to bottom and try to just piss breaks during the commercials. But yeah, that's all I got.